We want to welcome you back to the Enduring Churches podcast. What a great start to the year we've had, and we are so blessed to have you joining us. Thank you for taking this journey with us as Trent and I seek to help you and your church endure. So Trent, I am so glad to be here today. How about you?
And I'm excited. It's the warmth is returning to Oklahoma here. Is it warm in Colorado?
Yesterday and today are gorgeous. And then they're saying we're going to get over this weekend anywhere between 2 and 30 inches of snow.
Yeah, there you go. All right, man, break out the snow shoes. Yeah, it's going to be good. Well, I'm agreeing with you, though, Alan. I'm excited to be able to do this. If you're listening to this or watching this, I want you to know that Alan and I really enjoy this. For us, it's our own counseling each other a lot of times. We want to help you guys to maybe be part of the conversation. And so thank you for listening. We appreciate everyone who takes time to listen to our podcast. It means the world to us, and we really do want to be helpful to you.
That's right. So if you've got some ideas too for upcoming podcasts, reach out to us. We'd love to hear your ideas. Talk about things that are close to your heart. You know, I know there's a lot of questions, especially as our nation starts to move out of the pandemic. How do we move forward? So we want to be here for you. But today we want to talk about, I guess, a unique subject, and we're going to be talking about familiar spirits, but maybe not in the way that we're talking about anything that has to do with witchcraft or anything like that, like some would believe. But Trent, tell us what we're thinking about with familiar spirits.
Okay, Alan. Well, this term is, I guess, came from one of the guys who was my pastor years ago. When Dana and I had first gotten married, we were going to a church in Fort Worth, and he began to preach a series, and he talked about that the churches, if we allow things to, fights to happen in our church, and we can allow an evil spirit to come in and to begin to cause problems, stir up trouble in our church. And so today we kind of want to hash through that. You know, are you dealing with some things that keep coming back again and again? And I do believe that there is a spiritual warfare that churches deal with. And so we want to kind of talk through this today, Alan.
Yeah, and I think it's so important for us to do that. And Trent, you know, when people hear the word familiar spirits, it probably brings up a lot of ideas. And some of those things, you know, maybe more Old Testament in a lot of ways than New Testament. But we do know that there's an enemy, and an enemy's at work in our churches and trying to create spirits that are not a good spirit, whether that's the spirit that is within us or it's an outside spirit affecting us. The enemy is at work, and we know that to be true. And that's what Scripture tells us, right?
That's true. I really believe that, you know, if we're followers of Jesus Christ, if we've committed our lives to him, we cannot be possessed by an evil spirit. We can be pestered by evil spirits. We can be hindered by evil spirits. Our church can be as well. And we want you know, there are evil spirits that are trying to knock your church down because they don't want you to be effective. We kind of want to deal with that today. And so that's the term familiar spirit is what my pastor used years ago. And so that's always just kind of stuck in the back of my head. But we want to talk through that. And so, Alan, as we begin thinking through, I want to ask people to think about their church. Are they continually dealing with some different issues that are causing and stirring up trouble in their church? The first one that I think about is gossip. Is that a continual thing in your church?
Well, let me ask some folks, and they'll certainly tell me all the details about it, right? So,
it's exactly right.
Gossip can just get through a church. It's amazing the things that people will say about someone else and not have a problem sharing that. And sadly, you know what happens in churches too. Most of the times, our gossip comes in the form of prayer requests. You know, well, yeah, we need to pray for so and so. You know what they've got going on, and then it's 10 minutes about what they've got going on and stuff. But yeah, gossip is certainly a spirit that can just destroy a church. And that happens in churches of any size. It doesn't matter if you're small or large, you are not immune to the perils of gossip.
And that is often accompanied by, you know, gossip, that spirit of wanting to hurt other people goes along with the next issue that I think a lot of churches deal with. And that is kind of the backbiting, backstabbing attitude that can be in a lot of churches as well.
Yeah, this is the, you know, and that's so unbiblical when the Bible tells us that we're to go to someone when we have an issue with them. And then we don't do that. We just go behind their back and work behind their back. And, you know, churches can get into the habit of that. You know, we talk a lot, too, about, you know, churches maybe backbiting their pastor and they become, you know, repeat offenders at firing pastors or something like that. And I think that that's a big reason why right there is that they've never learned to handle things in a biblical manner. What do you think about that?
Well, I think you're right, Alan. And recently I had a church in our area that it seems like they just have this continual, it's like they never can get any traction because they're always, they seem like they get things going and then there's a fight that breaks out. And then, or there's a, you know, they run off their pastor or whatever. It's just constant. And so that's that familiar part. It's just that constant deal, constant battle that they're dealing with. And, you know, so yeah, I think that's right. And so you have, you know, gossip and backbiting or backstabbing. And then there's also, which leads to the next thing, is there an anger issue that is always in your church? Are people always angry with each other?
And I would venture that if we could take a poll of negative things going on in churches right now, you know, a familiar thing that we're seeing in churches is there's a lot of anger right now. There's a lot of anger that the world isn't just flocking into our churches, that the lost people are acting like lost people. And it feels like we're losing grasp or losing the control that we had in our culture. And people are angry about it. And really, you know, the anger that we have does not amount to the righteousness of God in that matter. You know, what are we going to do? And really what we need to do is humble ourselves and pray and seek God and really relearn what it means to be the church. But yeah, anger is definitely there. And I think that's a big tool of the enemy right now.
Yeah, there's a difference between righteous anger and unrighteous anger, too. Years ago, I had a guy try to convince me that Jesus was never angry. I'm like, what? Are you kidding, right? Yeah, the whole time when he's, you know, throwing out the tables in the temple and stuff, I think he was pretty torqued off, you know.
Yeah, no doubt. There are things we should be angry about, but it's really how we process anger. We all get angry. It's how do we process anger, you know? And I think that that's what we need to reconsider, and especially against people we call family inside our church. Mm-hmm. You know, how do we focus that anger? That's certainly an important matter. Well, Trent, anger has some consequences. It takes it further down a road too in the life of a church, and we see this happen. I mean, church splits. What about division? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think that that's the way that most churches do church planting is by a church split, right? They decide everybody starts getting their team together against the other team. Hey, you agree with me, right? And so there's a spirit of division that will tear up a church. And if it's a constant thing, your community begins to think that about your church. You begin to have a reputation. Alan and I will tell you that for a church that continually deals with that, you get a reputation among potential pastors as well. It's like, oh my gosh, you don't want to go to so-and-so church because they're just a fight waiting to happen all the time.
Yeah, churches get reputations, and wise people talk to others before they walk into a situation so they can go in with the eyes wide open. But division is certainly a spirit that can really come over churches. That's a heartbreaking one because, you know, there are towns that have that are pretty small towns that have four or five churches because of split after split after split coming off the same church, and they never address the issue at all.
Yeah. Well, and it really is against what God tells us, that the way that people will know that we belong to Him is that we have love one for another. And so, man, when we're acting in a divisive manner, we're certainly not showing Christ. We're not showing the love of God to people. So keep that in mind. And this is a spirit, and a familiar spirit in your church. If this is the case, then you need to do some battle against this. Lastly, another thing, and there's several things that we could probably include in this list, but just a spirit of negativity. You know, is there, well, no, we don't want to, we can't do that, or no, that's no good. You know, it's always negative. If it's always negative and there's no hope, then we know that's not godly.
Yeah, you don't want the negative Nates running your church. I mean, our God is a can-do God. He's mm-hmm. done many good works. He continues to do good works. And He says the gates of hell cannot stand against His church. And so that is certainly important. And these are spirits, Trent, and these are not just attitudes. They are affected in the spiritual realm. You know, that's what Ephesians 6 tells us. You know, Ephesians 6:12, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this world's darkness, and against the spiritual forces in evil realms. We know that this is a spiritual battle. And so it certainly takes a spiritual response, right?
It does. And I would encourage you to read that entire chapter, Ephesians chapter 6, because it says in that we're supposed to stand. We're supposed to take a stand against those spiritual forces that are coming against us and not just say, oh, that's just the way it is. No, that's not just the way it is. If you're living a defeated life, you're not experiencing Christ. And so in the passage in Ephesians chapter 6, it's funny, it says that you're supposed to take a stand. And then when you've done everything else, stand. So you're supposed to have a stand firm against them.
Yeah, one of the things I love about that passage, Trent, is that's not where, when you're dealing with something like this, you're not advancing, but you're also not losing ground. Mm-hmm. I mean, and that's important. There are seasons in ministry where the best you can do is stand your ground, and that is success. You know, I think we oftentimes think if we're not moving forward in ministry, if you are, the numbers aren't going up and all these other things, that we failed. Well, hopefully this last year has taught all of us, you know, hey, sometimes standing your ground is successful. And I hope that God has taught us that lesson through this pandemic. But it's true in these situations. And, you know, if you're a new pastor and you've walked into a church and you're already recognizing these things, your first agenda is not to try to get a bunch of new programs, a bunch of all this other stuff. It really is to stand your ground against that negative spirit or that, as we're calling it, that familiar spirit that is there. And so I guess we need to figure out how to deal with them.
Yeah, I think it would be important. I mean, that would be terrible for us just to talk and say, hey, these are part of life, and not give you any tools to deal with how to get rid of these things. Recognize that these spirits, because of things in the past, have been invited into your church. That seems like a weird thing to say, but it's true. If your church has been involved in fights and anger and hurt and divisiveness, you've invited those spirits to be a part of the church family. And so you do have to do some things to get rid of them. And again, I would point you back to that Ephesians chapter 6 passage. And it talks about taking up the armor of God. I would encourage you to go look at those. We all know the different parts of the armor of God, right, Alan? You've got the helmet of salvation. What's the breastplate?
Righteousness, the breastplate of righteousness. Right. And your belt of truth, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And of course, you want your feet shod, not shot. That would hurt. You want your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. And of course, we want to take up our shield, you know?
Yeah. Well, and a lot of people will say, well, you know, in that passage that we need the word of God, and they'll say that's your only offensive weapon, but that's not what the scripture says in that passage. In fact, it goes on to say, pray in the spirit. So you've got two offensive weapons that are listed in that. And so if you're dealing with these things, you need to be gathering people to pray. You need to be speaking God's word, but you also need to be praying around your church. We did this. Our church had some issues that just kept coming back up again and again. And so we gathered people and we prayer walked our church, and we prayed scripture over our church. And so I think it's an important part of that.
Yeah, prayer is really the beginning place. I mean, we need to be people who are praying for our church and praying over these situations. It is so important that prayer really be essential, because that's also, we're praying to the one who has the authority over all those other things in our church. But there's the practical side too. And so what do we do on a practical level? I think the first thing we need to do is, we don't need to normalize the enemy's playbook with that too, Trent. You know, if the enemy, you know, the in the Ephesians 6, it says the enemy's throwing those fiery darts, mm-hmm. you know, well, we don't need to just accept those as, well, this is just how it is. You know, this is just who these people are. You know, this is my community. We do so much to excuse bad behavior, and we shouldn't do that.
Yeah, that's true. And that is not the normal for a follower or someone who claims to be a follower of Christ. If they're constantly dividing the body, then that is not what the Bible says is normal for one who is to be part of the body. So you're right, Alan, don't normalize that. You know, don't just accept it, and speak out. If you're the pastor and you're listening to this, I encourage you to speak what scripture says, and teach your church family, hey, this is what normal is, not what we're experiencing.
Yeah. You know, I was listening to a podcast about, you know, business meetings that can go bad or whatever. And, you know, talking about how Robert's Rules of Order at times can be your best friend or your worst enemy. But I've always taken the attitude that, you know, Robert's Rules of Order is always superseded by God's Rules of Order. And, mm-hmm. you know, I think that there's also a time too, where you have to shut things down, you know, that you have a responsibility. We're not going to go this direction. And this is time for us to stop, pause, and reflect on who we are and what kind of people we want to be. And mm-hmm. And really we have a responsibility, you know, in that. And that probably is another thing we can do, is we need to be ones who model the right behavior.
Yeah, you're right. As a pastor, as a leader, even a Sunday school teacher or a deacon or elder in your church, you are tasked with the role of showing people how to live for Christ. And if your actions, if your attitude is causing people to be pulled away from Christ, then you are not modeling the right behavior. And so we need to be showing what it means to stand for Christ, how to live for Christ, even to bow our knee and say, okay, I don't have to be the one who gets my way every time.
Yeah, and that can be hard. I mean, that's, you know, we're in an era where it seems to me that many churches have moved to a pastor or elder type driven organizational structure. And so the good news is there's less interference on getting things done. The bad news is that sometimes we kind of become our own, you know, well, it's my idea or no other idea. And that can certainly be a negative of some of those things that are going on. And so we need to check our own attitudes at times and make sure we're modeling that behavior correctly. Well, you know, so at some point in time, Trent, do we have to address the issue?
You really have to. Sometimes we get really uncomfortable and we're like, oh, maybe it'll just go away. No, it won't. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but it won't go away. There's a great book that came out years ago. It's called Crucial Conversations. I would encourage you to check out that book, talking about how to have a healthy conversation to deal with these things directly. Because if you just continue to put it off, kick the can down the road, as they say, that issue will gain more traction. That familiar spirit will gain more traction and hold a foothold in your church and in your church family.
Yeah. So, you know, when, I think when you address it, it's the how do you address things? You know, you got to be direct. You know, one of the things that I've learned is indirectly addressing an issue is not addressing an issue. So, you know, you have to be direct. You know, if there's a lot of gossip going on, you've got to be direct about that gossip. You got to be direct on the sources, you know, and talking with those sources about it. But here's the thing, and this is where many pastors go wrong. We don't do it with the in a loving approach. You know, I will tell you, years ago, there was someone seeking to cause some division, you know, as over the worship style, which I can't imagine that ever being an issue in a church. But my response was pretty much less than loving. And instead of winning someone over, I really kind of put a wall up between us. It took a long time to overcome that. You know, I could have been more loving in my approach. You know, start with a loving approach. There are times where, you know, churches have had to do discipline and all those kinds of things. And we're not going to go that direction today. But we should, our first response should always be a loving response.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and asking questions, you know, what's going on? Why is this an issue? Why are you keep bringing this up? I had several years ago, Alan, I had to confront a gentleman in our church that, and I know where he grew up. I know how, and racism was just part of his life. And so he made all kinds of, you know, racist jokes and statements in our church. And finally I had to just stop him and say, hey man, this, I just need you to know this was really hurtful. We're trying to reach to people in our community. And there's a lot of people that you're really pushing away. But asking him questions, you know, what do you think this feels like, you know, and doing it in a, what Alan said is a loving way too.
Yeah, and it's not always easy because these are emotionally charged issues a lot of times. By the time these spirits are there, they're not easy to get rid of. They're habitual, and so they can be really, really hard. And so, you know, it's that same thing, you know, when you're preaching or talking about sin with people. And how to kind of get rid of that habitual sin in your life. Well, again, if you don't replace it with something positive, you're going to have trouble. And so we have to help our church replace the negative with the positive. And, you know, gossip's a great example. You know, if someone's got a gossip issue, what can they become that's the positive? You know, a gossip tears people down, but an encourager builds people up. You know, so how do we replace gossip with encouragement?
I love that example, Alan, and encouraging people instead of gossiping to actually, you know, what you said is true. Unfortunately, gossip comes a lot from prayer request or quote prayer request, but instead turning that into an encourager or actually becoming a prayer warrior for people. You don't have to tell everybody else, but you can become an actual prayer warrior for that person. And that means the world.
Yeah, you know, and where there's negative, you know, well, what's the positive? Yeah, there's a lot of negative in our world right now, but what's the positive? God's doing something. I've seen God open the doors of creativity. He's helped get our churches back focused on our gospel and on our mission. As hard as this past year's been, I see God really doing some neat things. And so, you know, it's put the positive on things. And, you know, I learned that a long time ago. My grandpa, who was kind of my truest mentor, you know, when my sister was born, he was a smoker. He had taken up the habit in World War II. And you know, my grandmother told him that he wasn't going to be around the grandkids if he was still smoking. And so he quit smoking, but it wasn't easy. And he did that with peppermint lifesavers. He always had peppermint lifesavers. And anytime he wanted a smoke, he put in a peppermint lifesaver. And he did that for probably 30 years before he had no desire whatsoever for cigarettes anymore. And, you know, that's a great example. Replace the negative with a positive.
Yep. Something sweet. There you go. And we're supposed to be sweet, you know, to the people that we go to church with. And lastly, I guess, you know, as we think through this, and we want your church to be successful and a loving place. We like to think of our churches as, well, we're just welcoming to visitors. And like, are you really? Are you really? And so be vigilant about this. You should be prayer walking your church, prayer walking your sanctuary. Get some people that care about your church that you know are prayer warriors. Say, hey, will you just do me a favor and will you just pray over our sanctuary? Because we don't want any spirit that we might bring in of negativity, of gossip, or just backbiting. We don't want that to ever have the ability to multiply in this place. We want